Jesus is a heartbeat. Blood inside of my belly. The life inside of my
Hello, everyone. This is Kingdom Empowerment Inc. Radio. This is KEIFM.com. And our program is Kingdom Keys, Spirit, Soul, and Body Series. And I have a brand new topic today. It's how do you treat homeless? We are going to go right in and just start. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We thank you, Son of David. We bless you. We worship you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We are going to take our scripture. I put it on the side. It's they are there for you to use. But we are going to continue right now. We are going to 1 Samuel 30. Okay. Now I'm reading from verse 1. reading from verse 1. However, verse 1 on chapter 30. But to actually get the full story, I would like to start from verse, from chapter 28. 28. Okay. Now we see that Saul and David have been having some disagreement. There has been war going between them. Now let's start from chapter 27, verse 1. And David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines, and Saul would despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand." Verse 2. Then David arose and went over with the 600 men who were with him to Achish, the son of Maach, king of Gath. So David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, each man with his household, and David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the Carmelite, Nabal's widow. And it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he sought him no more. Then David said to Achish, "If I have now found favor in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you?" Verse 6. So Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore, Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. So we now see that because he was running from Saul, he ran to the land of the Philistines, and he met a king whose name was Achish. And he asked him to help him with a place to dwell in. And he gave him a city called Ziklag. And Ziklag became a dwelling place, not only for David, but for the Judas, and that has remained the place for the people of Judah. Now we now know why he lives in Ziklag. Now we continue. Verse 8. Okay, verse 7. Now the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was 1 full year and 4 months. That is 1 year and almost half month. 1 year and 4 months. Verse 8. And David and his men went up and raided the Geshurites, the Gezites, and the Amalekites. Let's note the Amalekites, okay? For those nations were the inhabitants of the land from of old, as you go to Shur, even as far as the land of Egypt. Verse 9. Whenever David attacked the land, he left neither men nor women alive, but took away the sheep, the oxen, the donkeys, the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. Then Achish will say, "Where have you made a raid today?" And David will say, "Against the southern area of Judah, or against the southern area of the Jeremites, and against the southern area of the Kenites." Okay. Verse 11. David will save neither man nor woman alive to bring news to God, saying, lest they should inform on us, saying, thus David did, and thus was his behavior all the time he dwelt in the country of the Philistines. So Achish, verse 12, so Achish believed David, saying, he has made his people Israel utterly abhor him, therefore he will be my servant forever. So we now see David's deception was so effective that Achish concluded that he switched in allegiance was permanent. That his allegiance to him was a permanent one. Now, when you go from that, that is the end of that very chapter. So we now enter chapter 28. Now, it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, you surely know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men. Verse 2. So David said to Achish, surely you know what your servants can do. And Achish said to David, therefore, I will make you one of my chief guardian forever. So you can see that a king today can be a servant tomorrow. And a servant today can be a king tomorrow. So he was thinking that David has become his chief servant tomorrow. Today. So therefore, I will make you one of my chief guardians forever, guiding him like a servant. Now, from verse 3, we now begin to see the story concerning his master. That's David's master, Saul, how he was afraid, how he went to consult a medium. And when you read, because of time, I'm going to skip that area because it's not much what pertains to what I'm going to talk about. And if you read it, you see that he was consulting with a medium, and unfortunately, it was it was Samuel that came up when they consulted that kind of medium. It was Samuel that came up, and the news was not a good one. So you can read that on yourself. Let's now move to chapter 29. Chapter 29, we begin to see how things begin to unfold, how they themselves, the Philistines, the commander knew that David was not the one, knew that David was the one who, as a young man, had killed the champion. We know the champion in when you read chapter 17, you will see there, and how he had killed hundreds of their own Philistine soldiers. So I was a hero of the Israelites at that time. So they were not very sure of this loyalty. They were afraid. And they were afraid because when, you know, during the heat of the fight, of the battle, David would not be so foolish to begin to kill his men, his fellow Israelites. So they were not very keen on allowing him to go with him, allowing him to go with them to the battle, because David might turn against them Although David was upset at this at first, God used the commander's suspicion to keep him from having to fight against Saul and his own countrymen. Okay? So that was the good news. I don't know how he would have done that, because now you are faced with your own decision whether to remain loyal to the Philistines or to fight your own countrymen. So David was in a predicament, for he would not fight against his own people. He could do nothing but wait for the Lord to provide him with a means of escape from this dangerous situation. However, Achish came quickly to David's defense when the other princes questioned David's loyalty. Achish had found no fault with David since his defection from Saul. But we see that Achish was unsuccessful in persuading his fellow princes, that is, fellow leaders and the soldiers, to accept David and his men as part of the Philistine forces. So the fear that David and his men might switch their allegiance back to Saul, for an example of what for him to settle their dispute. So Achish was thoroughly deceived by David's display of loyalty. So, and Achish then released David from his duty, and he bade him farewell to him. So Achish was released, and David has to move. So let's and that is how when let's see from verse 9 of that chapter 29. Let's see. Then Achish answered and said to David, "I know that you are as good in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the princes of the Philistines have said, 'He shall not go with us to the battle.'" Verse 10. "Now therefore, rise early in the morning with your master's servant who have come with you. And as soon as you are up early in the morning and have light, depart." Verse 11. So David and his men rose early to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines, they themselves, went up to Jezreel. Because the next day they were going to embark on the battle. There's going to be a fight going on between their men and Saul's men. And when you fast forward on the I think it's that is the next chapter. Let's see the next chapter. Yeah, the next chapter, chapter 31. You see the tragic end of Saul and his children. Very sad story. Okay. So we now see that he has been asked to move, because the time of reality has come. They have come to believe that there's no way you will be able to collude with them and be able to remain loyal when the fight actually happens. Now let's go to now chapter 30. Okay? Chapter 30 now. So the attack on Ziklag took place on the third day after David and his men left the Philistine army at Aphek. Okay, so now let's read from verse 30 now. This is chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, chapter 30 from verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. Verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captives. Verse 4. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Verse 5. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. 6. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Verse 7. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's sons, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue the troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Verse 9. So David went, he and his 600 men who were with him, and came to Brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued, that is verse 10 now, but David pursued he and 400 men, meaning that 200 remained behind. Now 400 went with him. Okay, verse 10. But David pursued he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook. Verse 11. Then they found an Egyptian. Okay. This is the from here now down is the real test. So what I'll be doing is just for us to get a context of what we'll be talking about. Okay. Because if I just jump here, it might not make sense on what we are going to be talking about. Okay. Then they found an Egyptian in the field, and they brought him to David, and they gave him bread, and he ate, and they let him drink water. Verse 12. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two chesters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him. For he had eaten no bread, no drink, nor drink water for 3 days and three nights. Verse 13. Then David said to him, to whom do you belong, and where are you from? And he said, I am a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion of the southern area of the Cherethites in the territory which belongs to Judah, and of the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. Verse 15. And David said to him, can you take me down to this troop? So he said, swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop. Verse 16. And when he had brought him down, there they were spread out over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. Verse 18. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And verse 19. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughter, spoil, or anything which they had taken from there. David recovered all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we see that rather than kill all the citizens of Ziklag, the Amalekites took the people, and their intention probably was to make them slaves. Apparently, those who were with them were captive, and the captives were David's two wives, and along with the wives and children of his men. Now, David faced a serious crisis in the leadership. He was distressed. He was distressed, not only because of his personal grief, but by the difficult situation pressing on him. His men were speaking of stoning him. It is often the nature of unhappy people to vent their frustration through act of hostility against their leaders. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Unlike Saul, David knew where to turn to. He turned to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. He learned to wait on God, confident of God's eventual deliverance. The same way with us today. When we are faced with a situation, things which look unseemingly impossible for us, we are not to turn to any other thing or to any God we don't know. We just need to turn to Christ. And He is there all the time. He has said He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. He will always be with us, and He is Emmanuel. So we just need to run to Him and not to run away. We do not need to begin to blame other people, because this is not the time to blame, to lay blame on people, to condemn people, to begin to accuse anyone. This is the time for us to join hands together and see what we can do about this situation. So David strengthened himself . So we now see that when you found when we find a situation like this, there is a sense that we sense fear We sense fear. Family God, the only men that is with you now, they are talking of stoning or killing you. How do you feel? How do you act? How do you gather courage? So we have to inherit courage, and we have to excel fear. And one thing also we need to do is never to give up. One thing that is so easy to do at this stage is just to give up and say, what does it matter now? I have lost my family anyway. I cannot find them. That is just giving them hope. But David was not without hope. He wasn't hopeless. He believed on his God. He consulted God. He asked God, what do I do? If I go, what do I gather these guys together? Yeah, God answered that. So we are not to give up. The easy way, the easy route here is to give up and say, well, yes, you guys stole me, just kill me. Or there are some people, they commit suicide. They kill themselves. They commit, just take their life and say, I cannot find my family. They took all what I've labored for years. Now, these people are also talking about killing me. Oh, they just do whatever, how they can get themselves out, and they are gone. You come out the next day, the person is gone. That is somebody that gave up. So we are not to give up. Okay? We are not to give up. We have to inherit courage and safe here. Never give up. This life, we have to fight. We have to fight. Day in, day out, we have to fight, and we have to recover all what the enemy has taken, all what the Satan has taken, all what the demons have taken. They've taken the joy, they've taken our finances, they've taken our children, they've taken our belongings. They are about to take our lives. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy it. So we should not allow them to take it. They have to bring it back. And the way we have to resist them. We have to fight against them. You know, the enemy is seeking around, looking for who to devour. So we have to resist it. Scripture says resist it. So actively fight against it. It's not just saying give up or quit. No, we have to resist. Hallelujah. Okay, and we must remember that we are no longer captives, but we are victors. We have been rescued by Jesus Christ. So we start redeemed, even today, with the Lord, who did the work for us. And we have to be bold to stand in this redemption. That yes, He is our Father and we are His children. So we are no longer captive anymore or slave to Satan, except we yield ourselves to them. But we are victors because Jesus causes us to be victorious in Him. Hallelujah. Now, we now see the story of an Egyptian, which is so important in this story. Very important. Now, you see that without these Egyptians, I don't see how he would have been able to rescue all his family and the family of his men. So significant in this story. It's like a bridge that stands between David and his recovered things. There's no way he would have been able to achieve what he achieved. Pertaining to the David recovering all. Very important. So we see that a sick slave had been left by the Amalekite to die in the wilderness. see that in verse 13 there. And life had been so devalued by the Amalekite that it was considered more economical to replace the slave than provide medical treatment for him when he was sick. Life was not meaningful to the Amalekites. That's no place anymore. So he was given, so when David met him, he was given a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. So this food was a regular part of the diet of David's men. So they also blessed him with the same type of food they were eating. So, which is so important that so the Amalekite cruelty left the slave to die. But God used him to lead David and his men to the Amalekites. In other words, he became a divine helper. He was a helper to David and his men. So David and his men treated this young man kindly, and he returned the kindness by leading them to the enemy, that is to the Amalekites where they were staying. So what do we learn from this? Have we come to ourselves these days? Are we just so high up there? What we need to know is that we need to treat those we meet with respect and dignity, no matter how insignificant they might seem. You never know how God will use them to help you or to hunt you, depending upon your response to them. Now, we see somebody who is left to die. Basically, he's homeless. He has been outside like a beggar, looking for food. He cannot find food. This guy has not eaten food for 3 days. He has not even drank water for 3 days. In other words, he has been fasting for 3 days. No food, no water. He was forced to fast. And to himself also, God came to his rescue. God brought rescue to him. It was rescue. He found somebody who was able to also find favor in him. And they provided food for him. And he became a source of help for these people as well. And this is a man that has been left to die. He has no hope, no future, no place to go. He was dead, hopeless. But in God, there's hope. And God sent people to him. So we see that there are many things that happen in our lives. Sometimes we just don't need to worry. If this man had not been left there by the Amalekites. David would have not been able to recover all that has been lost. Now we see that this was a bad intention. They mean bad by keeping him away from, that is, the masters of the Egyptians, the Amalekites. They meant bad by rejecting him. It's an Egyptian that is sick, weak, hopeless. He was rejected by them. It's an ill will which turned against them, because he knew where they were going, and it was him that helped David to find a place where they were going to stay, and it was a link between David and them. That is why we need to treat everyone the same. You will recall that if he had treated them, if the Amalekite had treated the Egyptian well and took care of him and go with him to where they were going, David would have not been able to find other means. Although God has his own purpose, because he has already promised David that, yes, you will find him and you will recover. But we see that everything has been planned, everything has been positioned. You see that he has been rejected, and his rejection became a source of help for other people. Now, when you look at David's life himself, why was he able to help this young man? Now, you see, I read chapter 27, right? Chapter 27. And you see that David himself has been running. Himself is like homeless. He has run from his home because of fear of being killed by Saul. Himself is like homeless, like a beggar, having no place to dwell. So he has to run to his enemy's camp, the Philistine's place, to dwell. And he was able to find somebody who was God, who was able to rescue him and give him a place to dwell. And that is how they dwell in Ziklag. Himself was not, it's like this, it's like the Egyptian having no place to stay, running, left to where? To God, to feed for. So he has learned a lesson, how to be homeless, how to be without food, how to be seeking for refuge, looking for food to eat. So he has also witnessed what this man is witnessing. So he was able to understand. He was able to find out what was wrong. He was able to quickly rescue this man. Very important to understand the signs and the days and the times we have find ourselves. It could be a time of training, a time of learning. So we should not just take our time we are living as a time that is useless. It's a training time for the future. It's a training time for what? A future. Why? Because you are able to learn every little things we are going through. If you have not been homeless, you will not know how somebody who has been thrown out, maybe because he has not been able to pay for his house, he has not been able to work, maybe he has been sick. Just one reason or the other is homeless. Maybe because of, I don't know, but you find people are homeless, no place to stay. And there are some people, they commit one crime and that's it. They are blacklisted. They can never find job. Then if they can't find job, how would they be able to feed? How would they, how would they be able to pay for their place they dwell in? They can't get a home to stay because they cannot pay for the rent. So what do? They are homeless. And some of them, they are not able to pay and they are evicted. Some of them, they are foreclosed. Just one reason or the other, you find people are homeless. But we see David's case was because of the fighting between his master and himself. And he find himself homeless, running here and there, no place to dwell. He has to find a place in Ziklag. His master, his wives are there, his boys are there with him. So we see that we can find ourselves in a situation tomorrow. We are like, oh, did I pray for this? No, you don't, because a beggar can be our master tomorrow. A beggar can be our master tomorrow. You know, somebody who's homeless today can be our master tomorrow. And our master today can be a beggar tomorrow. And a homeless person today can be a master tomorrow. And a gate man today can be a boss tomorrow. And a boss today can be a gate man tomorrow. So we just need to understand the divine nature of God in our lives and begin to treat every man as we are treating angels. You know, the way we treat beggars, the way we treat others can determine our tomorrow. The way we treat others can determine our future. You know, the way David treated the Egyptian determines what he was going to get. And the way he treated the Egyptian helped him recover all what was lost. Remember, David himself has been running to save his life. Saul has been trying to kill him. Himself was homeless. He has just been rejected himself by the Philistines, that no, you can't go with us. So he knew what rejection is. The same way with this Egyptian, the Egyptian guy, he has been rejected by his master. No, you are weak. You are not fast anymore. You are tired. We cannot help you. You are useless. You have no use. You are hopeless. Get out. Let's leave him to die there. But we thank God that they did not shoot him. We thank God that they did not shoot him. So we see that it became a source of help. That is why we don't need to bomb any bridge. We see somebody who have no need, somebody who is poor, somebody who have no hope, so we have to give hope. Now let me read a couple of verses. Deuteronomy chapter 15. It says, if there be anyone, verse 7, Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7. He said, if there be any among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not hide thy heart, nor shut thy hand from thy poor brother. Verse 8. But thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need, in that which he wanted. Verse 9. Beware that there be not a thought in the wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand. Thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be seen unto thee. Verse 10. Thou shalt surely give him, and thy heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thy hand unto. Verse 11. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in the land. That is Deuteronomy chapter 15. I just read from 7 to 11. See what the Lord is saying here? He said, why should we do all this kind acts? He says, because the poor shall never cease out of the land. Why? Because they are foolish things. They are there to test us, to see if we are obedient to what he's saying. It's a foolish thing. He said, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to the poor, and to the needy in the land. He classified first to the poor and to the needy in the land. Hallelujah. And when you go to Deuteronomy 23, verse 7, you will also see a verse there, and Proverbs chapter 25:21. Okay, and this is where Paul kind of quoted from. He said, if thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Okay, and also, do we also see that the enemy can be anybody? It can be a brother, it could be a sister, it could be anyone. But the scripture is saying that give him bread to eat, and if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. Exactly what David did to this Egyptian. Okay? Now, Matthew chapter 25, 35. Okay? He said, for I was hungry, and you gave me meat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. And I was a stranger, and you took me in. Okay? Exactly what David also did. And Luke chapter 10, we see the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. But I'm going to just read verse 36 to 37. And it says, it might be too harsh. Let me read from verse 30. Okay. Jesus was speaking. Okay. That is in an answer to a lawyer who has asked him a question. Okay, he has asked him a question about how to inherit eternal life. Okay, and there were a series of questions going about, but he's telling him about who is his neighbor? Who is your neighbor? He was asking Jesus, who is his neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem. I'm reading from verse 30 now. He said, a certain man answered and said, sorry, verse 30 says, then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. We thank God he wasn't dead. Verse 31. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Verse 35. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So now Jesus is asking a question. Verse 36 now. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Verse 37. And this lawyer then answered and said, he who showed mercy on him. He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. He who showed mercy on him. So we see the act of David here. He showed mercy on the Egyptian. And in the same way, when we go to Romans chapter 12, you will see what we know about Christian way of living. Acting on the word of God, that is practical way of our Christian living. You know, our living is doing what the Bible is saying. It's not by just hearing it and not doing. You know, James talked about that. So we need to do what the word is saying and not just hear it. Acting on the word of God. So Romans chapter 12 says, from verse 20, it says, therefore, if the enemy is hungry, feed him. If the enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. See? And verse 21 said, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So our time has run out, and I hope you are blessed today. I hope this will help us, because we need to treat everyone, we need to be there for everyone. Whether you are homeless, whether you are a beggar, whether you are rich or poor, we need to regard everyone We need to treat everybody with respect. And we also know in Hebrew, how can I finish this without Hebrew? Okay. Hebrew chapter 13. Let me quickly read from verse 1 to 3. He said, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers. For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And verse 3, remember the prisoner as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourself are in the body also. And with that, we say we love you and God loves you. See you next time. Thank you.